So we heard a demonstration of the effects of something. For me, this was something that really struck me. They told us that there were bankers that left the country with $16 billion and they came to the United States, and you can imagine the consequences of this. You don't have to think that what is happening in Ecuador is not happening here, but we don't hear as much about it. We know less about it because when we want to denounce this type of things, when we try to object, they tell us that we don't have the right to use violence. And if we have the unfortunate reaction of letting them get away with it, of submitting to this and to receiving blows from the police, then these same newspapers will reproach us, and these same newspapers that belong to these people who stole all this money. And Mr. Ruiz, you made a presentation yesterday, and he's already spoken to us about some of these aspects. He has the difficult job today to tell us what are we supposed to try and do. I think it's difficult, and this is Mr. Eru from Toronto. I remind you that the translation is now available in direct. After talking about this, it's a little bit hard to talk. I come from a small village. I was born in Fabre, in Abitibi, which is a small village. And I'd like to bring the debate back to what is at my basis and what we do in Sherbourne in Toronto, and I'm going to go back to the subject that I touched on yesterday, that I spoke about yesterday, that the poor are supposed to suffer in silence. This is a proposition that is false from two different sides at once. Well, first of all, we don't suffer in silence. I remember having lived in poverty in Ontario and in Quebec. I don't remember silence. I remember a lot of noise. I remember my parents who were very stressed because they weren't able to feed their children properly. We remember all of these things. And still today, what I see in my community in Dundas, Sherbourne, isn't silence, but a war with people dying in the streets. And this is also false that it suggests that we're supposed to suffer in silence. We talk about what's going on with us, this is all right, but how do we take action against this, that isn't seen as being improper. So the silence I'd like to talk about today is the silence of those that are in control, those that every day are seeing what's going on in the streets, but not saying anything about it. I'd like to say something. I'd like to speak in particular about the different agencies, non-profit social agencies, the groups that work in the anti-poverty sector. And I'll try and be quick. For myself, for the last few years, the role of these nonprofit organizations with whom I work, with them I've been working with the Central Neighborhood House for 10 years, is a little bit like the role that was played by the church in Nicaragua and El Salvador. These agencies every day have the role of meeting with and working with the poor people within the communities. So every day, the poor people come and tell us their stories. They come and say that they're not capable of feeding their children. They tell us it's good, things are going very badly at home, and I'm afraid because my husband is beginning to lose it. And they tell us their stories, and the model that these agents are using over the last time, particularly since Harris has been in power, is a model that is focused on charity, on an individual approach that says that we can, the term is to social work the individual try and recover them. So people come and see us. We don't have any money. We don't have a house. And what we're supposed to do, be able to make this person, return this person to a point where they can function. And the workers either refuse or are afraid to talk about what is actually going on. And we have a situation in Toronto, in the east side of Toronto, over the last 2 to 3 years, the process called the social cleansing process, which is part of the war against the poor. This is the ideology which is behind the social cleansing, which is removing the services for the poor people and the people from the different neighborhoods, and we have no idea where these services are going to. I've never really understood. It's very difficult, hard for me to understand my colleagues and many of those who are or street groups of street kids. What Gaetan just said to us, I agree with him completely. We have to talk about these young people and give them the chance to express themselves, talk to them and not against them. This is why on the 10th of November there will be a colloquium which is based on the subject of the exclusion of the young people from the public space. And we're going to try and bring all the victims of repression and try and look at this question from both a political and social point of view and not to continue excluding these young people. And I'm going to ask Gaetan to come and say what he said, because I agree completely with what he just said. These thoughts show us that it's urgent to do something.